Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, family. It's Pam Price from Ellum Foundation. Welcome back to Unheard Voices. I'm so excited to be with you guys again. I know my timing is off, but I always like to build our time around when my co-host can join in. So I'm glad we were able to finally get my co-host together. We were able to find a schedule that worked well for her. So before we, really roll into it, just want to let families know that if you want to join the conversation, you all can feel free to dial in at 914-219-0892. Again, 914-219-0892. So today's session, we're going to talk about finances. I know we got tax day knocking up on the door, which has now been, thank goodness, moved out into May. But our conversation today is just to look at our financial well-being, our financial, how we can become financially wise. Because like most of us, we're living paycheck to paycheck. And when COVID hit, it created such devastation to a lot of families because, I can't even talk. I'm so excited about the weekend. Sometimes we only prepare for just, maybe a month, some maybe 2 months. But what happens when we got to start digging into our retirement funds and, just like trying to figure out the best way to make ends meet? And, I pray that we don't go through anything like we experienced in 2020, but we never know. So my co-host today, I'm so excited. She actually sits on our finance board committee here, but she owns her own consulting business where, of course, her thing is finance. So my co-host is Joyce Sisson. She's the owner of JSF Booking Services. And so excited. So I want to introduce you to her and let her say a few things before we jump in. Welcome, Joyce. Thanks for being my co-host today.
Hi, Pam. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we could get together and finally do this and reach the people. So I'm so, so happy our schedules were able to match this time.
Yeah, I know. It's just been crazy. So thank you so much for finding time. So, Joyce, why don't you share a little bit about what you do and how you gotten interested in, and then we're going to jump into the conversation about how we can, now move into a post-COVID financial wellness type of situation here.
Absolutely. I initially got into accounting and finance and just business all around, really from childhood. I always wanted to know how money worked, and growing up, my parents, knowing whatever, they went to work all the time, but just trying to figure out what do they do with all that money. As kids, we thought our parents made so much money. And that was what I started out. And so I just wanted to know, what do they do with all that money they make? And why can't all of it be for toys and candy? And my parents instilled, we had to start getting allowance. And in order to get allowance, you had to work for that and do chores around the house and make good grades. And your allowance is based on those things. Because my parents would say, you going to school and doing your work and getting good grades, that's your job. And that's what we paid.
Yeah, that's how it was in my parents, too.
So doing that, and that just was instilled in me all the way until, and I was fortunate to attend Texas Southern University and major in business, management. And then from there, got my MBA and just continuing to work in the financial world. I landed in the education side of accounting. And a lot of people assume schools and colleges just operate. They don't realize that it's a business behind that. And and it's mostly a nonprofit business. And schools kind of operate like small businesses, small independent businesses. And that's where I landed. And I've been doing that since 2009. So I've kind of seen it all as far as how the nonprofits operate and run the day-to-day and the audits, which could be very nerve-wracking just saying that word, but very necessary. And from there in 2018, that just inspired me to move forward with starting my bookkeeping business, because so many nonprofits will pop up and spring up and they have great intentions for what they want to do for the community, but the business side and the day-to-day financial side needed help or just was non-existent. So I felt that's where I could come in and help and offer assistance.
And I'm excited that you are a part of our team. I know I get so busy in trying to, you know, not only do the show, but also preparing for, you know, the Alzheimer piece with the organization and just my hands in so many things. You know, I always try to remember to, you know, thank my team for you know, being a part of the vision that God has given to me. So if I ain't told you lately, I just want to let you know I do appreciate, you know, the work that you're doing to help continue the vision get out so we can help the community. And that's why I believe that for the extension of Elam Foundation is another tool that we can use to help disseminate this information out. Because, you know, like most families of color, and we're just going to be truth, is that we were not taught how to financially manage our money past a certain amount of time. We were always taught, especially the old school, you know, my generation and the generation before, it was always taught that you were supposed to look a certain way, drive a certain type of vehicle. But now, you know, COVID made us reexamine our financial home and our lifestyles and what is actually necessary. So in looking at all of this, what is your suggestion on how can we start managing our monies after COVID? Like, you know, people have gotten their stimulus, people have started going back to work. But, you know, some are still struggling. So what's that first step would you suggest for them to use to move forward?
Right. That's excellent points. I'm going to start, before I get into the tips, I want to start just with a couple of statistics and just a few percentages that when COVID happened, it made everyone, all Americans, take a look at the finances and where we are savings-wise. As you know, Pam, a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people were laid off. A lot of companies no longer saw value in 100 people on staff, and a lot of places were cut down, a lot of unemployment things that are still being decided, and a lot of people just had nothing coming in on a bi-weekly basis or weekly basis anymore. So a lot of the word savings became a big thing. The buzzword almost of 2020 was savings and what's in your account, what did you put back, did you have anything? And of that, according to MarketWatch.com, at the time we only had about 38% of Americans who had $500 or more in savings for an emergency, and then from there you only had 25% of Americans who have zero savings, and not only, but you have 25% of Americans who had no savings. So if anything happened, you know, you're really out there. And so that COVID actually shined a light on that, that a lot of us are living paycheck to paycheck, and we just don't have anything saved up, and we're at the mercy of our company that we work for and the work we do and the money we bring in. So from there, a few things as far as savings, I like to do things where I kind of trick myself into saving, because I'm almost like that kid with a lot of candy. If I have a lot of money, I'm going to want to buy stuff I feel I deserve and I should have. And I like clothes and perfume, so I feel I should buy everything. And
it's like burning in your hand. But, oh, good, I can go shopping, you know.
Yes, finally. And but one thing I like, I will credit my husband for this one. There's an app named the Digit app, D-I-G-I-T. And get to your bank account and use that how much they take out. It could be a percentage or it could be a dollar amount that they take out daily. And you can set it, you know, you don't want more than $5 coming out a day. You don't want more. It's just based on what's in your bank account. And when he was using it for months and he told me about it, and I was like, yeah, that's not going to work for me. I check my account every day. I know it's in me. And if they take anything, I'm going to be angry. But he's like, no, just do it. So I started back in, I want to say June of 2019 or 2020. Mm-hmm. And I got the app myself and I started doing it. And I was looking, I don't even realize it took like $4.20 one day. It took $3 one day. And if your account gets really low, it'll take like maybe $2. And then if your account gets really high, like when you get those stimulus checks or bonus checks, you may notice a little more coming out. But again, you can see it and go back in the settings and set it and say, hey, I don't want that much coming out. And as the weeks go by, you know, you look up and $6 has been saved if you leave the app alone and don't reset and don't bother.
I know.
But
I like to keep looking and be like, how much money did I save?
Yeah, and you can also set goals.
What's the app's
name
again?
It's the Digit app. I'm going to
D-I-T-I-G, right?
Let me make sure I got the correct spelling on mine, because I think they spelled it. Yeah, they spelled it a little D-I-G-I-T. It's a little blue and white app.
Okay.
And so that's one way I like to trick myself into saving. Another way to save money during these COVID times, which it's all been all over the news, but it's actually true, is to cancel those memberships that are not necessary. Gym memberships, all of these. Like for me, I noticed I had Hulu, I had Netflix, I had YouTube, I had Amazon, all of these services on top of cable and music service, Apple Music. I have everything, cancel those. You know, that'll be an, I just named about probably $40 worth of things right there. because they're Disney Plus, all of those streaming services, you know, you want to look into what you really don't need as far as things like that. I'm just listing streaming services, but we could be talking about memberships and the gym memberships and things that we know we probably haven't been using. Even the grocery, ship.com, I have the grocery delivery thing. They charge the monthly fee. So it's all these things you don't realize that you signed up for, you probably don't really use or you couldn't use in the last year. And that could have been savings in your pocket, just a few dollars right there. Sometimes we have emergencies. We don't need thousands of dollars. We probably need $50, $100 to tie us over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one place it could come from are those streaming services or those memberships.
So I'm sorry. So let me ask you this. So, you know, first I'm going to go look at this app, definitely.
Yep.
But also while we're doing that, is it best for us to use our credit cards or pay off the credit cards? Like we, you know, because I know a lot of people use their credit cards during COVID. I know I did. Let me just tell you the truth. I didn't want to touch anything that somebody else touched. So I wasn't using cash. I wasn't doing anything. You know, my credit card, I was just using it all the time because no one touched it except for myself. So mm-hmm. when it comes to, you know, all these other things that you mentioned, you know, getting rid of those memberships and getting rid of these other things, what about credit cards? Like, should we be paying those down like the minimum or just pay them off like as much as we can? Which one is the most important, do you think?
I think with credit cards, I'm going to tackle it two ways. The first is the great rule of thumb. You want to pay more than that minimum all the time. Mm-hmm. You just want to do that. You don't want to pay bills on your credit card. Unless you have intentions to pay the whole thing off at the end of the month. But mm-hmm. if you're just casually spending or going to the grocery store, the gas station, you just want the points. Some people I know, they just want the points. Definitely try to pay that off at the end of the month. If you can't do that and you have a larger credit card debt from COVID, you know, kind of carrying over, try to tackle it by paying more than that minimum. It depends on the amount, of course, but I would like more than the minimum is definitely something you want to think about. Sometimes it's easy to see, oh, you only owe $25. Try to pay $50. Try to pay $75. Mm-hmm. And just tackle it down. I even personally, I'll take like the balance of my credit card and divide it by how many months. Like if it's $100 on the credit card, I'll say if I pay with this $100 I owe, if I divide it by $10 a month, how many months would that be that I could, you know, tackle this and pay it off? And that's just what I would feel comfortable coming out that I don't really feel like it's gonna hurt to pay that off, but that's just on a very small.
That's a great idea.
So it's just what, you know, just to get out of that mindset of paying the minimum, because you also have to keep in mind your interest rates and which accumulate, and that's always based on how much you're carrying on that credit card. So that's the first way I wanted to approach it. The second way is you probably don't have to use a credit card. I know you were talking about from a sanitized way you wanted to make sure you're not handling cash from the hygiene mm-hmm. and people touching mm-hmm. and stuff. You know, use your debit card. I am still trying to encourage some people to get a debit card on their bank account. It's not an identity theft thing. It's just a card on there, and the only thing you can spend is what's in your bank account. That'll keep you from writing mm-hmm. out checks and all that. It's, you know, now the debit cards have the little chip, or they have the thing where you can just tap. You don't even have to
yep.
put the card inside the mm-hmm. whole device from a hygienic standpoint, because that is icky. But you could just tap it. So, you know, if you don't already have a card a link to your bank account, maybe look into getting that debit card, and you can even set limits on how much can come out just to help you control your spending once you get in the stores. I know sometimes we go to Walmart and Target and walk out with $300 of stuff. So set a
yep.
limit.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So so now that you've given, you know, a little bit of tools for the trade, and I know I'm going to have to bring you back, you know, again for a longer conversation. So I just want to quickly, you know, jump into now people have heard what they need to change and get rid of, or, you know, how we can start paying down those credit cards, you know, what's the best way. I never, you know, realized that. That's a great, great point. I like that idea. What about the finances? Like, you know, now that you're starting to get paid, how much should you pay yourself? Because I heard that, you know, when you get paid that you should begin paying yourself first. Is that correct?
It is. That's very correct. I have to go back to my college days. I had a professor who stressed that, and he also stressed the number. You know, 10% has always been the number, and that was back over 10 years ago, but it still rings true today. You want to set a goal around 10% each paycheck. 10% I'm going to put back in a savings account where I'm not touching it, I'm not spending it, I'm not thinking about it, I don't need it, you know, 10%, I would say start off there. Even if you can't start there, break it down to 5%. and mm-hmm. just put that back. Or if you don't like that, I know some people with their jobs, you if you ask your employer, you could go to your HR person or payroll department and change your bank account, your direct deposit, to where $20, $50 per paycheck goes somewhere else to another account. And
yeah.
before your paycheck even hits your day-to-day bank account, it's already in your savings account. You didn't have to move anything, because it's all about the mentality when we're spending. If we see that money, that whole 2,000, $3,000 paycheck sitting there, we're going to look at that as all of it is our money. But if you have the $2,000 sitting there, you're looking at it like, okay, $2,000 is all mine, or it's all towards bills. It's all towards groceries. Mm-hmm. It's all towards mm-hmm. obligations I have. But if you have your employer taking out about $20, $50, $100 before it even gets to your main account, okay, you were looking for $2,000, but you already told them to put $50 in that savings account. So you know it's not in there. It's where it belongs. You don't have to even do anything. It's not taking any time away from you. It's where it belongs. Starting out with another mind trick, but I would say with the savings, just try the 5 to 10% first, and then you may look at it and say, "Oh, that's easy. Now I live off of, you know, I'm living off of the money now.
Yeah,
so
you don't
maybe
see
I should
it.
Up it to 20%." Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't see it. And to be quite honest with you, what I do with any funds, because, you know, I consult and do all these other things, so I actually have done that. Like, I have an account. So as my family know, that I actually grew up in Connecticut. So, and I always kept my credit union in Connecticut. I canceled my debit card off of there. I don't have my checks off of there. I mean, it's not easily accessible. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
every time I get paid from, you know, either speaking or something, that piece, you know, it goes into, you know, a little bit of something goes into that account, because I can't touch it. Because like you said earlier, money be burning up in my hands, you know, be like, woohoo, I'm going shopping or something or other like that. So, I'm definitely going to continue this conversation that, you know, for a longer length of time, because I don't think that 30 minutes, can you believe it's like we've already talked like almost 30 minutes, how fast that went. But
I can't believe
to, that. Yeah, so what I really want us to do, Joyce, and we can talk about this down the line, is actually begin to hold workshops, financial wellness mm-hmm. workshops, and we can hold mm-hmm. that live where people can call in and talk to you. You hear me, family, this is what we're going to put out there, because even though you get it, sometimes, you know, be like, we become sloppy because we're so used to like, oh, I got X amount of dollars in the bank. But then you're always like, hey, I got all this extra money. And the next thing you know, it's like when something really important hits, then you're like, uh-oh, I tapped into my savings too far down the line. So, so definitely we're going to get together and put together a financial wellness workshop. So, and have you at the main point, so we can get out there and host it for a couple hours, so people can really come in and talk to you more and more about financial planning, not only on the personal, but there's some that have, you know, that are new into new businesses and or who have old businesses but looking for new ways to manage their money. So family, watch that. You like that, Joyce? I just threw that out there at you.
I do. I like that. I do.
Yeah. Okay, good. So before we get ready to go, I have a quick question. We have about 5 minutes left. You know, I've been hearing some financial planners talk about financial disaster plans. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, financial disaster
quickly?
Plan. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Can you touch really quick on that? Mm-hmm.
I can. That kind of goes back to the very first thing we talked about with the savings and how 38% of Americans don't have anything just for emergencies. So the financial disaster plan is kind of on a larger scale where you need to have, where you should have between 6 months to a year of monthly expenses in your savings account. And that's something that's not even COVID related. That's kind of a rule of thumb that's been in place just beforehand, just because the job market is unstable sometimes and just different, or in your area, it could be a job market or the opportunities for work. So you want to have those 6 months to a year or at least 3 months, a quarter worth of monthly expenses. And that's everything, car note, daycare, groceries, gas, all of your essentials. If there are things you think you could do, like, oh, student loans or credit cards, I could probably call them and work out a deal and get those frozen until I get a job or until something picks up. So primarily those big things that you have, your mortgage, you know, you want to make sure you have like those 3 months, 6 months, 12 months saved up for an in case of a financial disaster. And that could be a loss of a job. It could be medical related. It could be family related. You just never know. Layoffs, they happen. So you just want to make sure you have something in savings, at least start off small, those 3 months, 6 months. And I've heard people go all into, they have a year and 2 years worth now, just because they got, they're just lucky that they didn't have interruptions with their income and they were able to go into a year and 2 years worth now. But for those starting out, you know, and have that just sitting there, you won't believe the sense of pride you'll have when you see that sitting there, those 3 months or 6 months built up, just sitting there knowing that you can tap into it in the case of an emergency or the things out of your control, you can tap into it and it's there and that's less stress. Job hunting is already stressful as it is. It's a job in itself. So yeah, it'd be great to just have that sitting there.
Yeah. So your top three takeaways for today, like what should we start doing? And also, may I just say before you go into that, regardless of how old you are never too late to start saving. So
never.
Trust me, you are never too late to start saving. So, Joyce, what are your top three takeaways that to help everybody, us all, get back onto that that plan?
I think my three takeaways. I'm trying to stay on topic because I'll go into other takeaways. But my top three from today are to do the saving. We just talked about it, savings. If you haven't started saving, it's not too late. If it takes doing the app or if it takes doing the little banking trick where you go to your employer and say, hey, put $50 over here. I can't take this home with me.
Yeah.
If that's one, those two things right there. My second takeaway is just to use those percentages I gave in the beginning from MarketWatch. You know, 25% of Americans have nothing in savings. You know, you want to get out of that. You don't want to be a part of that statistic. You want to be a part of the statistic where, no, I can speak. I have something in savings. That's not me. You know, you want to build yourself up to where you're not in that 25%. You're out of there. That was the old you. This is the new you. This is the new year, new you. You're in that savings circle. And my final takeaway would be what you said, you're not too old because our savings is not too late.
Awesome. Joyce, how can people get in touch with you really quick?
Sure. My number, 832-566-5929, and also on email, inquiries at jsfbookkeepingservices.com. And those are my two primary ways that email and phone. I can be reached there if you have any questions or nonprofit questions or just personal day-to-day questions. I am available. I love to talk to people and learn about your business or your personal finance questions or your plans, even if you don't have the business yet. What are your business plans? So love to talk it out.
Pleasure. We are out of time. We're going to get that that financial workshop scheduled. Family, thank you so much for listening in. Joyce, I appreciate you much. We're going to connect soon, and let's find a date that works well. Family, if you know of anyone that needs additional food or needs help, always please contact us at info@thelmfoundation.org. Let us get some help out to you. Joyce, God bless you. You stay safe, continue to be well, and we'll connect soon. Family, be safe, and thank you as always for tuning in. We'll chat soon. Bye now.
Thanks.